exciting time in the life of a church when we can celebrate and communicate God's favor over someone taking this very important step to be water baptized. Baptism is an expression of the essence of Christianity. It's the paradox of the gospel that as we lose self, we gain Christ. I'd like us all to turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Then Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" What does it mean to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Christ? What does Jesus' clear statement here about being a disciple of Christ have to do with baptism? What does it mean to take up our cross and follow Christ? What might be that cross in your life? Of course, we know that the cross was something that caused death. We know that the cross was something that was an instrument of suffering as someone was put to death. What might be the cross in your life? The cross might be depression. The cross might be something that as a parent pierces your soul about your child. As it was even said to Mary when they were even celebrating their baby's birth, Jesus Christ himself, that it was prophesied to Mary that your soul would even be pierced. Sometimes as parents, our souls are pierced for our very own children. The cross in our life might be an unresolved relational issue. The cross in our life might be an unresolved work matter, something that just always seems to be there. I got to get up tomorrow morning and face it again. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Jesus, it says in the Word of God, was someone who was familiar with suffering. Of course, he was a humble man. He humbled himself to the obedience of death, as the Bible tells us in Philippians 2, even death on a cross. He was familiar with suffering. When we embrace the cross, we do become familiar with suffering. There's a certain humility that is worked deep in our soul. There is a certain empathy that is worked in our lives for others. But the beauty in the process, as we learn to embrace the cross, the beauty is that in the Christian walk, God is able to use all things.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the freedom of it. The freedom of the Christian walk is that whatever comes into our life, as we learn to identify it and use it, we can identify it as the cross of Christ. And in a sense, we can train ourselves. We can practice embracing the cross of Christ, which, yes, of course, we naturally recoil from suffering. We want to do everything we can to keep suffering away from us, to put it off, to deny it, to run from it. But as we learn to embrace the cross in our life, and yes, to face it, to take it up daily, to endure it, it It's a mystery, but somehow we learn to die, and then Christ is able to live in us and through us. In the process, we give up the self-life. We give up selfishness. We give up my way, the way I want things to be. And instead, we embrace the cross of Christ, including suffering and death, and choose to walk with Christ. The next verse in Mark 8:35, Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." The way Jesus put it in Matthew 10:39, he said, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's the paradox of true Christianity. We don't find life, happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment. We don't find these things by seeking for them. We find our life by losing our life. When we lose our life for Christ, we ultimately, in the process, find life. And that's resurrection life. And that's where baptism illustrates true Christianity. Because when we are baptized, we're embracing what Christ did. We're embracing His death, His dying as we go underneath the water. We're embracing His burial as we are underneath the water. And then when we come out of the water, that signifies that we are a new man. We are a new woman. We have died to self, and now we have Christ. We have the resurrected Christ. We have new life in Christ. And then Jesus asked two questions to hammer home the point. In Mark 8:36, he said, "What good is it if a man gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" What can we gain by holding on to our life and seeking the things of this world? Wealth, status, prestige, you fill in the blank. Seeking the things of this world, all the desires of this world that a man could have. Even things like winning the Super Bowl, making a god out of the things of this world. That's the key point. Making a god out of the things of this world. Jesus said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" Here is true Christianity. It involves everything. It involves our all. We sang this morning the song, "I Surrender All." This is true Christianity. Christ gave all. Christ gave His life. He took our punishment by giving His all and dying on a cross. In response to Christ, we give all. We take up our cross daily. We lose our life for Christ. And then as we lose our life, we find life. We get all. We get resurrection life, abundant life, eternal life. We get all the benefits that come with walking with Christ. We become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We receive the joy of the Lord as our strength. We're able to walk in the peace that passes all understanding. We become characterized by faith in Christ. The righteous live by faith. We have hope that is firm and secure and anchored to our soul. And we have love for others. The love of Christ and compassion and empathy for others. Most importantly, we get Christ, the resurrected Christ. The Lord is not interested in making us better people. He's not interested in making us a better version of ourselves. Let's make Dan Schweitzer as good as he can be. The Lord wants to make us a completely new man.
Amen. Amen.
A completely new woman. A totally different person. And that's what baptism is all about. Baptism is an expression of our life in Christ. Baptism is an expression of our life every single day. Every single day, we should start our day by coming before the Lord and somehow going through that mystery of dying, that I die, that I need you, Lord. I don't want to just be the best I can be. I need to die so that, Lord, you can live, so that you can be the one living, so that you can live through me. I want to be in your presence, Lord. I want to be in the cleft of the rock. I want to be hidden with Christ. I want to be in that place of being with you, Lord, where it's not me trying to be a good person, but it's where Christ is living through me. And so true Christianity is starting that way every day with the Lord and then seeking to stay in that place. What is it in your life that interrupts that sweet fellowship with the Lord? What is it in your life that kind of distracts you from being in that place with the Lord? I know what it is for me. It's when I see a student doing something wrong on purpose. I feel that sense of betrayal. I feel that sense of, you know, here, you know what you're here for. You know, why are you doing something wrong when you know it's wrong? And it upsets me. It unbalances my equilibrium. And I get bent out of shape. That's what does it for me. I'm being honest with you. And I'm seeking the Lord to help me that when a student does something wrong on purpose and they know it's wrong and they're doing something, that I still stay in that place of being hidden with Christ. That I still stay in that place of I'm dead and Christ is living. I still stay in that place of walking in His presence. So it doesn't interrupt that sweet fellowship with the Lord. So it doesn't interrupt Christ in me, the hope of glory, the resurrected Christ. Instead of self, we gain Christ. So my encouragement to us today, every day of our life, is somehow understand the mystery of the gospel. Somehow understand what it means to die, to self, to selfishness, to my way. See, when you're dead, you can't react. A dead person is dead. When you poke them, they don't go, ouch. They're dead. And to allow Christ to live in us. And so we're going to celebrate today as Jean Cavisi, Mrs. Jean Cavisi, her family's right over here. She got her two mothers. Jean, if you can come on down. And her two daughters and her son with us today. A new family in our church from Togo. Gene's doing an outstanding job with her family because I see it in her children. And I notice how her daughters love to worship the Lord and to really enter into worship. And that says a lot. And Gene, would you just want to just share about your testimony of coming to the Lord?
I received Jesus in 2000. I was born in Catholic Church. My father and mom, they are Catholic. I received Jesus in 2004 when I came to the United States. I've been going to Assembly of God in Silver Spring. Then I came here and was Sister Jacqueline.
Sister Jackie.
Jackie. And I became a member. I was baptized in Catholic. Now I decided to come to the Lord to be my child.
Amen. To baptize her, and then one of the great things about baptism, Jesus was our example, is that when Jesus came up out of the waters, God the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so, obviously, God is well pleased. God showers His favor upon the one being baptized, and the Lord uses us, His people, to do that through the prophetic word of encouragement. And so, I want to encourage us to be ready to share as the Lord leads us by His Holy Spirit. Remember the ABCs: be audible, be brief, and be Christ-centered. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dean, based on your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into the baptism of Christ. Well, Father, we just thank you for Jean. We thank you for what you have wrought in her life, Lord God. We just thank you that your favor is showering down upon her, Lord God. And she's gotten wet and immersed herself, Lord God, and identified with you, Lord God. Just give her a great sense of your favor upon her. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you today for this daughter of yours who has come to know you and professed you. And Lord, sweetness of Christ now in her life and her face and the happiness in her home. And I see her daughters and children up here clapping and happy for their mother. And Lord, we thank you for the favor of God upon her. And the Lord would say to you that indeed the grace of God, the favor of God has become yours.
Amen.
The favor of God does rest upon you now. That you are walking in the provision of God. You are walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. No longer do you have to walk in despair or doubt. You can walk in faith and belief, knowing that God will provide for you and your family. And may the Lord prosper you and bless you. As you walk in Him, your life be a testimony of His grace. In the name of the Lord.
Absolutely.
All right, in John chapter 15, this is what Jesus said about him being the vine and us being the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you abide in his love, Gene, everything that you ask for that's in his will, he will do for you. He will bring you through every situation, and you will bear the fruit that he desires in your life. Just abide in him and stay in his love and obey his commandments, as his word says.
Gene, I just sensed as you were being baptized, the Lord quickened to my heart Psalm 91, that this is a psalm for you, a psalm for you and your family just to dwell in. And I'd just like to read a little bit of it and put your name in the psalm. Gene, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Gene will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver Gene from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you, Gene, with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. The whole psalm is excellent, but I just want to read the concluding verses. Because Jean has set her love upon me, therefore I will deliver her. I will set her on high because Jean has known my name. Jean shall call upon me, and I will answer Jean. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. And with long life I will satisfy Jean and show her my salvation. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful psalm and the promise of your care and protection. And Lord, I just speak the life-giving protection of the Almighty God over Jean and her family, over everything that she puts her hands to. I thank you, Lord, for her leadership and faith in taking this step of faith today. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to pour out your Spirit upon her and her family, and help her, Lord, to be a leader in righteousness in her family. And Lord, I thank you that you have promised that as she calls on you, that you will answer her, and that you will be with her, and that you will cover her in the shelter of your wings. Bless her, Lord. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am certain, Jean, that the Lord has that word for you in Proverbs. There's a scripture that says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. As a tower fortified, you're not alone. If God will keep you, he will set his angels charge about you and see about you. The righteous is not those that do the right thing. The righteous are they that believe in the Lord. As you believe in the Lord, he is letting you know that you are safe. And so you have heard the word from really our first lady. And the Lord is letting you know that I will keep you and be encouraged. You are now the Lord's. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in Jean's life. We pray a blessing upon her, her marriage, her family, Lord God, her children, all her extended family, Lord God. We just thank you for them. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're showering your favor upon her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.